I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. And we want to welcome back all those who have traveled or those who have been away for some time and are with us this morning. We pray that the Lord will bless you and strengthen you. And as you continue to fellowship with us, may the joy of the Lord be upon you. Now, this morning, my subject is actually the city of refuge, or the refuge of salvation. Now today, we are familiar with the term asylum seekers. Now, asylum seekers usually are refugees from countries which persecute them, and these refugees are living in danger, and so they have to flee from their country because of their political or their religious beliefs. And so they go seeking for a country of refuge. So if Australia takes these refugees in, then Australia will become their country of refuge. Now in those days, during the time of Joshua, six cities were designated to be cities of refuge after the land was conquered by the children of Israel. According to God's instructions, six cities were designated to be cities of refuge. Yes. Now, three of these cities were built on the east bank of the River Jordan, and three cities on the west bank of the River Jordan. Now, when the land was distributed, after the children of Israel conquered the promised land, it was distributed among the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, one of the tribes did not receive any land. It was the 13th tribe, you might say, the tribe of Levi, because the tribe of Levi was a priestly tribe. It was a tribe made up of priests and made up of Levites, and so they did not have any piece of land when the land was distributed among the children of Israel. Instead, they were given cities, and the children of Israel were to contribute land for these cities to be built. In all, 48 cities were built, and out of the 48 cities, six were designated to be cities of refuge. So remember, the cities of refuge were actually cities that were given to the priests and to the Levites. Now these cities of refuge serve as cities of asylum for the asylum seekers. Now the question is, who were these asylum seekers? Now these asylum seekers were people in those days who killed other people, not with the intention to kill. In other words, they didn't commit murder. They probably killed other people accidentally, and then they would run to these cities to seek for refuge. Now, according to the civil laws in those days, it was a case of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. So if a person killed another person, he had to pay with his life. Yes, this was the law, the penal code in those days. Now, so in those days, if a person was murdered by another man, then it was the duty of the male next of kin of the person who was killed to take revenge against the person who committed the killing. Yes, that was the law at that time. And because he was the person who took revenge on behalf of the person who was killed, he was known as the Avenger of Blood. Alright, so in the passage earlier on, you read of this term, the Avenger of Blood. Now such was the order of justice in those days. Now actually, the revenge killing was permitted in those days to preserve life. It was not actually to allow rampant killing, but actually it was allowed to preserve life. Now, if there was no such a justice in those days, what could happen was a person could take killing very, very lightly. He just killed, and so what? There was no consequence at all. And so this revenge killing was allowed so that people would not take killing other people lightly. But then, not all killers were murderers. There are some people kill other people accidentally. Now, you take, for example, you could have a case of a man working in the field, and then wielding his axe, And then all of a sudden, the head of the axe flew off from the handle of the axe, and he struck another person, and the person died. So what was he to do? Yes, there was no protection for him. My dear friends, in those days, but God was very, very merciful. And so God ordered Moses, during the time of Moses, to provide for these cities of refuge when the land was conquered. And so this was the instruction given by God to Moses in Exodus chapter 12, verses 21, verses 12 to 13. Exodus 21, 12 to 13. If you are quick enough, turn to these two verses. If not, it's all right. I'll read for you. He that smiteth a man so that he die, he shall be put to death. Now, this is with reference to a person who killed with the intention to kill. Yes? And if a man lie not in wait, but God delivered him into his hand. Now, this was not murder. There was no intention at all to kill. It was accidental. Then God says, I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. Now, what was this place? This place was none other than the city of refuge. And as we said, six cities were built in the land of promise. And so the killer in those days, if he was innocent of killing or of committing murder, he could actually run to this city of refuge to seek refuge in this place, and he would be protected by the laws of God. Now, so during the time of Joshua, God gave Joshua this instruction because the land was now already conquered. So it was time to build these cities of refuge, and so God gave this instruction to Joshua. Build these cities, three on the east of the bank of the river Jordan, three on the west of the bank of the river Jordan. Now, I'd like us to consider three points this morning with regards to the cities of refuge. First, the cities showed good principles of justice. That's number one. The cities showed good principles of justice. Number two, the cities of refuge resemble somewhat the salvation of the gospel. So some resemblance between the cities of refuge and the salvation of the gospel. And number three, the cities provided refuge, but the refuge was far inferior to the refuge provided by the gospel. All right, so three points this morning. Now, first of all, the cities showed good principles of justice. Now, of course, compared to the systems of justice in modern or Western societies, this system of justice given to Joshua would look pretty primitive, all right, pretty crude. Now, imagine an innocent man. I say innocent, not that he was dead, not that he didn't kill, but he killed somebody. But he was not guilty of murder. He was innocent. And after he was innocent of murder, so after he had killed that man, he had to run for his life. Can you imagine that? Run for his life for the city of refuge. Because if he didn't run for his life, and if he was caught up by the avenger of blood, he would be killed by the avenger of blood, if the avenger of blood could overpower him, of course. Now, yes, the system of providing these cities of refuge might seem crude, but think of the alternative. What if the cities of refuge were not built? Now, if the cities of refuge were not built, then revenge killing would not be regulated. A person who wanted to take revenge or avenger of blood could kill indiscriminately. Whether the person killed out of revenge or he killed unintentionally, he would not care. He said, I'll just take revenge, I'll just kill. So killing would be very indiscriminate. Yes, but then because of the cities of refuge, there was a chance of escape for the person who did not commit murder. He could run into the city of refuge and avoided being killed. Now then, the city of refuge, this city of refuge demonstrated a good principle of justice in that the innocent should be protected. That's the principle. The innocent should be protected. Then think of the effect of the building of these cities of refuge. Now the effect was this. Now, it would actually curb revenge killing. If the killing in the first instance was one not out of revenge. So you imagine a situation. A killed B accidentally, without any intention of killing B, but he killed B. Then the relative of B, B1, got very mad with A, and then he would take revenge against A. And then A, the relative of A, his next of kin, got very mad with B1, and so A1, the relative of A, would take revenge against B1, and so on and so forth. And so this blood feud would go on and on. But the cities of refuge would serve as a means to curb this kind of killing. Now let us understand this. God never favored the taking of revenge. He never did. He gave the penalty and put it in he put the death penalty in place for what purpose? Actually, for the purpose of preserving life and not to encourage revenge killing. And so he says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, he makes it clear, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. He put in place this death penalty, for in the image of God made he man. The purpose was to preserve life, and that's all. That was the purpose of the death penalty, and not it was put in place not to encourage revenge killing. My question to all of us, my dear friends, is this. Do we have a revengeful heart? Yes. Do we have a revengeful heart? Now, if we are looking for justice because we have been injured or hurt, and then we have a revengeful heart, let us understand. Having this revengeful heart is not legitimate at all. Yes, God does not favor revengeful killing. Yes, in fact, he forbids revengeful killing or revenge killing. Why? Because God says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is not yours. It is not for you to carry out justice. It's not for you to take justice into your own hands. Vengeance is mine. I'll meet out the justice. It is not for you to meet out the justice. In fact, the Lord wants us to get rid of this revenge, the revengeful spirit out of our hearts. And so he says, love your enemies, my dear friends. That is the standard set by the one true living God. Love your enemies and not to take revenge. Now, the next principle of justice shown by the cities of refuge is that the cities of refuge actually provided time for the evidence to be collected before the hearing could take place. Now, I'd like us to read carefully Joshua chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. And we will see that time was given actually for evidence to be collected, although it is not explicitly said so. Now, look at Joshua chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. Verse 4. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities, referring to the manslayer, the person who killed, when he doth flee unto one of those cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand. In other words, the people in the cities shall not deliver such a man into the hands of the person who was taking revenge. Verse, carry on. Because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, meaning to say he didn't kill him on purpose, and hated him not before time. There was no premeditated killing. It was not murder. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. So in other words, when he entered into the city, it didn't mean that straight away there will be a hearing for him. No, my dear friends, yes, he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. So time was given for the evidence to be collected. Yes, this was so done to prevent wrathful killing and to prevent wrathful sentencing or wrathful judgment or wrathful sentencing. Now, if the cities of refuge didn't exist, then there will be no proper collection of evidence, and then we can be sure that there will be many instances in which injustice would be perpetuated. Yes, people would kill other people, even though they might be, whether they were innocent or not innocent, whether they were guilty of murder, not guilty of murder, it didn't matter. Yes, they were just killed. Yes, people were killed not for the purpose of upholding justice, but simply to take revenge. Now, this principle of allowing evidence to be collected is something that is worth our learning. Bear that in mind. Yes, leaders in the church might be called upon to pass judgment, to hear cases and to pass judgment. Remember this very important principle. Time must be given for evidence to be collected. And then the evidence must be very, very carefully examined before any kind of judgment be passed. Now, most of us, I would say most of us, are unlikely to be sitting in such a committee to hear cases in the church. But we must admit, my dear friends, that we are all very prone to judging. Isn't that very true? We are very prone to judging. Why? Because we have this judgmental attitude in us. Yes, we can be pretty judgmental. That's the reason. Now let's realize this, that even in a proper court, even where evidence is properly collected, and even though there could be a proper hearing, judges and juries can still make mistakes in the court and hand out a sentence that is unfair to the person who is actually innocent. So let's bear that in mind. Therefore, let us not be quick to judge. Yes, let us not be quick to judge. Very often, what we hear and what we see might not be complete. We don't have complete evidence. And chances are, we will be just hearing one side of the story, very often. Yes, and then even if we hear two sides of the story and we think that we have a complete picture of the situation, the judgment that we come up with may not be a one that is sound. So let us remember this truth. So instead of spending time judging people, I think for us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in expressing love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will do us well to spend time praying for them, praying for those who are in disputes, that they will surrender themselves to the Lord and become good and mighty testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that time will be better served, my dear friends, if we did that. Now, the other principle of justice shown by the cities of refuge is that the case of the accused, yes, the slayer, or the manslayer, was heard before the congregation. Now, if you read the passage there, you will know that the case was heard before the congregation. Now, who made up the congregation? The congregation was made up of whom? Priests and Levites. Yes, people who had knowledge of the law, and they were actually an impartial party, the third party. Yes, they had knowledge of the law, and then they were supposed to be godly people because they were priests and Levites, and so would presumably have a better sense of justice. Now, the hearing of the case would take the fury and the revengeful spirit of the avenger of blood out of the picture. Instead, witnesses will be called upon to give their evidence. Now, this is right. Yes, everything is done in a very, very proper manner. Yes, evidence will be called for, witnesses will be called for, and evidence would be gathered. Now, this is the right thing to do. And in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, the Word of God says, let me say this, read this for you. Given in the Word of God in the time of Moses, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Friends, we must exercise this principle. when we are exercising discipline in the church. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Now, let's turn to this passage, but keep your finger at Joshua 20, all right? Matthew 18, 15 to 17. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. All right, let me read this for you. Verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So this process has to be observed in exercising disciplinary action in the church. All right? First, a person will go and talk to him, and then he should bring witnesses to talk to him. And if he still doesn't listen, if he still doesn't want to admit his guilt, then this matter would have to be brought before the church congregation to be heard. And if he still refuses to hear, then there would be no other option but to excommunicate that person. That person would then be treated as a heathen man or a publican or a tax collector. So this process is needed to ensure that there is justice and that the person is not wrongfully punished. Now, second, actually this long process is taken. It is for the purpose of allowing the person to repent. So time is also given for the person to repent. And then time is actually given for another purpose. And that is the most important purpose. And that is actually to restore the person into fellowship. That is the whole purpose of the disciplinary action. It is not to condemn the person, but to try to restore the person into fellowship. And so we read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, I read for you. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. So what do you do? Restore. The whole purpose is to restore such a person back into the fellowship of the congregation. Now the word of God in Psalm 85, verse 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. How needful it is that mercy, yes, be tempered by truth, and truth be tempered by mercy. But where would we be, my dear friends, if the Lord does not deal with us according to his mercy? Where would we be if the Lord were to deal with us according to his justice, according to his righteousness? My dear friends, we would be in serious trouble. But thank God, he deals with us in accordance to his mercy. So the cities of refuge demonstrate to us some principles of justice. Number one, first, retribution is necessary for crimes committed. But the retribution must not be exacted by revenge. All right, that's principle number one. And then provisions must be made for those who are innocent. All right, the law should try to provide for that the innocent should be protected. And then, for justice to be upheld, time must be given for evidence to be collected. And then the third principle is that the case must be heard by a neutral party. Yes, preferably people who have the knowledge of the Word of God well enough to hear the case, particularly if you are talking about a case of disciplinary action occurring in the church. Now, next, I'd like us to see that the cities of refuge resemble the salvation of God. Now, what's the resemblance? Now, first of all, in the ancient time, you know, the manslayer was in danger. After he killed a person, his life was in danger. Yes, he was in danger of being killed by the avenger of blood. So he had a danger to face. Now, what about sinners? Right, today, we sinners also are facing sinners face dangers also. And what are the dangers? The dangers would be the sin in him, of course, the sin in him and the power of sin over him. Now, if he is not delivered from his sin, and if he dies, what would happen to him? Of course, he heads for eternal damnation, he heads for eternal punishment, and that punishment will be day and night for all eternity. Now, next, the next resemblance is that the access to the cities of refuge was actually quite easy. All right? Six cities were built, remember that? And access to the cities was actually quite easy because a person, a manslayer, could actually run to the city within one day. Yes, within one day to the nearest city. So that was how easy for him it was to get to that the city of refuge. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 2. All right, chapter 19, verse 2. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 2. Right, and you keep that finger there also, and then you'll keep your finger at Joshua 20. All right, Deuteronomy 19, verses 2 and 3. Let me read this for you. Thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land. I think this was with reference to the cities on the west bank of the river Jordan, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of that land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. So the land was divided into three parts, and the cities of refuge were built in these three parts. So the access of this to this city of refuge could be done within one day. Right, within one day. Friends, let us see the resemblance. Access to the salvation offered by the Lord Jesus Christ is actually very easy too. Easy for us, but it was hard, painful, extremely, absolutely painful, absolutely hard for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He paid the price for us. He paid for the price of our, he paid the price for saving us. He saved us from our sins. On the cross of Calvary, he bore our sins. Yeah, and he paid all in full. On the cross of Calvary, he said, "It is finished." He paid all in full. And that payment, having been made in full, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today can offer salvation to all, to the whosoever. And so he says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So friends, the access to salvation is easy, hard on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy because we don't have to work for our salvation. What we need to is just to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent from our sins. That's all that's required of us. Work for salvation? No. Yes? We have only to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent from our sins and receive him into our heart, allow him to control our life. That's all we need to do, my dear friends, for us to enter into the refuge of salvation. Then you look at Deuteronomy. I told you not to turn away from Deuteronomy chapter 19, but look at Deuteronomy 19, verse 3. Yes? Verse 3 says, "Thou shalt prepare thee a way. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the course of thy land." Now, what does that mean? Thou shalt prepare thee a way. What it means is this. Yes? The roads leading to the city of refuge had to be very clear, easily identifiable, so that a manslayer running towards the city of refuge would not make a mistake. He will not lose his way. He could see the way very, very clearly, and he said, "This is the way that leads to the city of refuge." He will not make any mistake. Likewise, my dear friends, the message of the gospel of salvation is clear. Even a child can understand the message of salvation. My dear friends, I ask you, can you or can you not understand the message of salvation when it is presented to you? Can you understand it? The answer is yes. Yes, everybody can understand. We understand that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand it. We've broken every of God's laws. And then we understand this truth that because of our sin, we are separated from the one true living God. We do not have spiritual life, and we pass away from this earth unrepentant, we head for eternal hell. Can we not understand this message? We understand this message very, very clearly also. Then we also know that God has, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has paid the price for us. He died for us. He paid for our sins, the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary. And then he offers salvation to us, and he says, if you believe in me, you will have everlasting life. But what you need to do, of course, also to repent from your sins. Now, can we or can we not understand this message? Of course we can understand this message. Yes, so today, nobody can say that I cannot get into heaven because I cannot understand the message of salvation. We cannot say that. Yes. The reason why he is not entering into the kingdom of God is because he chooses not to believe in the message, and not because he cannot understand the message. He chooses not to believe in it. Now, would a manslayer in those days be foolish enough not to want to believe that there was protection in the city of refuge? Yes, he understood the message, but could he say that, I don't believe in this message, that there will be protection for me in the city of refuge? No, he will not say that. The moment he kills somebody, he will quickly let down his tools, and he will flee for his life and will run to the city of refuge. That's what he will do. Yet, today the sinner is so foolish as not to want to believe in the message of truth, the message of the gospel. Yes, that there is salvation in the gospel of refuge. How foolish the sinner is. Next, it is interesting to note that Joshua 20 verse 9. Alright, look at Joshua 20 verse 9. Now, look at Joshua 20 verse 9. Let me read this for you. Okay, Joshua 20 verse 9. Now, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever, all right, notice the word, whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Now, do you notice the word whosoever? The city of refuge was not exclusively for the Jews. No, it was for the whosoever, for the sojourners, those who travel among them, the foreigners, the aliens. Yes, he was entitled to seek refuge in the city of refuge. Friends, aren't we very, very grateful that the gospel of salvation is not only for Jews, it is also for Gentiles. It is for the whosoever, except for whom? Except for the self-righteous, all right? But it is available to the whosoever. So Matthew 9:12-13, I read for you. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You qualify to be one of the whosoevers if you are willing to admit that you are a sinner in need of salvation. Yes, do you want to be one of the whosoevers? Then admit that you are a sinner in need of salvation. Now look at the final resemblance of the cities of refuge to the gospel of salvation. And it is this: the gates were open all the time. The gates of all the cities of refuge were open all the time. Now it is not said so explicitly, but if you read the passage, you will understand that this was so. Joshua 20 verse 4. Joshua 20 verse 4. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city. At the entrance. At the entering of the gate of the city. At the entrance. Right? No mention that the gates were closed. Alright? And shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. They shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. So no mention that the gates were shut, The gates were open all the time. Friends, herein lies the similarity, the resemblance. The gate to the city of refuge, the heavenly refuge, is open all the time. Yes, because the Lord Jesus Christ says this, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, who is the gate? Who is the door? Jesus. And his arms are open all the time to all who would come to him. So the gate to heaven is not shut for the whosoever. It's open all the time. If you want to get in, you have to come today, believe in him, repent from your sins, and you will gain admission into the city of this heavenly refuge. Now, so if a man does not get into the kingdom of God, he is actually responsible for his own failure. He's like the manslayer who took his time and then was overcome by the avenger of blood before he could get into the city of refuge. Likewise, this warning is given to us today if we are taking our time. This is the warning given to every one of us. 2 Corinthians 6:2. All right, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 6:2. Yes, all of us, please. 2 Corinthians 6:2. I read for you. For he says, I've heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My dear friends, if you delay and do not reckon that today is the day of salvation, you know, as the slayer was overtaken by the avenger of blood, you might very well be overtaken by death. And don't think that death is far away. My dear friends, death could be at your very door today. Understand this truth. Yes, the gospel door is open all the time. But you might fail to get in through the gospel door. We might fail to get through the gospel door because you have been overtaken not so much by the avenger of blood, but by death. So, my dear friends, why delay? Why do you make the decision today to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior if you have not already done so? Finally, I'd like us to see that the city of refuge, although resembling the refuge of the gospel of salvation, is actually far inferior to the refuge provided by the gospel of salvation. Now, you see, first, the city of refuge was for whom? The guilty or the innocent? City of refuge. Guilty or innocent? Well, the innocent, of course, to protect the innocent, okay? But you know, the gospel of refuge is for whom? The guilty or the innocent? For the guilty. For those who are guilty of being sinners. And we are all sinners. We are all guilty of being sinners. So you see how superior the refuge of the gospel of salvation is. It is for sinners. It is not for those who think that they are innocent. Now, if we think that we are innocent, my dear friends, we are not guilty, then we will not qualify to enter into the refuge provided by the gospel of salvation. Then the city of refuge was for those who sought justice. Did you realize that? It was for those who sought justice. The manslayer would run to the city of refuge to seek justice because he didn't want to be unjustly killed by the avenger of blood. So he was seeking for justice. But my dear friends, as sinners, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we seeking? Justice? If we are seeking for justice, we are in trouble. Because if God were to deal with us according to his justice, all of us will not qualify to enter into this refuge of salvation. All of us will be disqualified. But dear friends, it is for those who seek what? The mercy of God and the grace of God. It is for those people who seek for the grace and the mercy of God. So today, my dear friends, understand this truth. Our Savior is standing at the door of salvation, waiting for us to come to him. to those waiting for us to come to him. His invitation is for the whosoever, those who would come to him to seek for mercy and for grace. Then, the city of refuge was inferior in that the city of refuge was actually a city of confinement. It was actually not a city of liberty, but a city of confinement. You see, what happened was this. After the manslayer's case was heard, and he was found to be innocent of murder, he could not leave the city. Right, he had to stay within the confines of the city, and he would be confined until the death of the high priest. Now, that was the rule in those days, until the death of the high priest. But if he chose to break that rule, if he got outside of the city of refuge and went beyond the border of the city of refuge, then he would be exposed to the danger of being killed by the avenger of blood. So you see, it was a city of confinement. Whereas, my dear friends, the salvation refuge that is offered by the gospel will provide us what? It provides us with liberty, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the penalty of sin and freedom from the power of sin. It gives us liberty, freedom from sin, from the penalty of sin, and freedom from the power of sin. The word of God says in John 8:32, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And indeed, it makes us free. When we come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we know his word. His word assures us very, very clearly that we have been set free from our sins. So friends, my question for all of us this morning is, have you experienced this liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you still living in the bondage of sin? If you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be experiencing the liberty in the Lord. But if you're outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still living in the bondage of sin. So, the city of refuge demonstrated some principles of justice. First of all, it protected those killers who were not guilty of being murderers. In other words, the number one principle that it demonstrates is that the law must provide protection for those who are innocent. Then also, the city of refuge, in effect, actually limited vengeance killing. Yes, only those who were really guilty of murder would be exposed to being killed by, or could be killed by the avenger of blood. But those who were not guilty of murder had a way of escape. Yes, they could run to the city of refuge and be protected there. Then the next principle of justice demonstrated by the city of refuge is that it demonstrates that time was to be given for evidence to be collected so that justice could be upheld. Then the other principle of justice demonstrated by the city of refuge was that the case must be heard by a third party. Now then, the cities of refuge resembled the gospel of refuge in that access to it was easy, just as it is easy for us to understand the message of the gospel. Nobody can say that he doesn't understand the gospel message if the gospel message has been given to him, because it's so clear, so easy to understand. So if a person chooses not to enter, if a person does not enter into the kingdom of God, it is not because he cannot understand the gospel message, but rather he chooses not to believe in the message. Then the city of refuge resembled the gospel of refuge in that it was for the whosoever. Yes, the city of refuge was for the whosoever. Likewise, the gospel message is for the whosoever. And then next, the resemblance was also this. The gate of the city of refuge was open all the time. Likewise, the gospel of salvation is open to us all the time. All we need to do is to come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All we need to do is to accept his invitation. His arms are always open to us. But The cities of refuge, no matter how good they were, the refuge provided by them is far, far inferior to the refuge provided by the gospel of salvation, in that it was only for the innocent and not for the guilty. Yes, and those coming to the city of refuge were actually seeking for justice. Whereas the gospel of salvation provides a very, very superior refuge, in that, yes, the gospel message is for those who are guilty of being sinners. And they come not to seek for justice, but they come to seek for mercy and for grace. And then the city of refuge provides an inferior refuge, in that it was a city of confinement. The believer or the person who was judged as being not guilty of murder would have to remain in the city until the death of the high priest. Whereas when a person comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is straight away liberated from sin. Yes, if he chooses not to sin, he is able not to sin, and he is freed also from the penalty of sin. So my question to all of us here this morning is, are you in the city of salvation or out of the city of salvation? Now I'd like to speak now in closing to those who are very near the city of salvation. You are very, very near to the city of salvation because you have been hearing the gospel over and over again. All right? It is just that you are not willing to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'd like you to think of this man, a manslayer. Yes, one day he was working in the field, wielding his axe, and the head of the axe flew off the handle of his axe and struck another man, and the man died. And so what does this manslayer do? He runs for his life because he knows that the avenger of blood is coming after him. So he runs towards the city of refuge. As we said, the way to the city of refuge was very clear to him. And so he runs the way to the city of refuge. And as he runs, of course, he looks over his shoulder to see whether the avenger of blood was coming after him. And as he runs, he looks back. As he runs, he looks back. No, the avenger of blood is not behind him at all. And by now, he feels a little tired. So he slows down. And he keeps on slowing down. And then he was cheered up because right in front of him is the city of refuge. And they say, yeah, the city of refuge is now so close, within reach of me. He looks back. The avenger of blood is nowhere to be seen. And then as he runs closer and closer to the city of refuge, he reaches the border of the city of refuge. He slows down, he takes a very, very slow walk, and just before he steps over and crosses the border into the city of refuge, the avenger of blood catches up with him and kills him. My dear friends, why? Because he took his time. That's why the avenger of blood caught up with him. My dear friends, you might be very, very close to the kingdom of God. Yes, you could be like the slayer who had been running, but now you are taking it easy. Yes, you do not care to make a commitment to place your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not willing to make that decision. You tell yourself, I've time yet, not to worry. Yes, I've time yet. My dear friends, you may not have time because death might just catch up with you. Because how long is our life on this earth? The Word of God says, it is even as a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. That is how short life is. And that is how fast the avenger of blood can catch up with us. So my dear friends, I trust that you will not allow this avenger of blood, death, to catch up with you. Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before it is too late. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the account on the cities of refuge that you commanded your servants of old to build. Oh Lord God, we thank you that we have this refuge in the salvation that is provided by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for those in our midst who have still not entered into this refuge yet, that they will not make any delay and think that they have time yet. O Lord God, make all of us realize that our life on this earth is so short. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and soon the vapor will pass away, will vanish away. Likewise, our life will pass away. So, O Lord God, we pray that you will be very merciful to us. And this morning, we pray for anyone here who still has not made that vital decision to put his life into the hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for him to mold and for him to fashion and to receive salvation from him. Lord, we pray that he may do so today, and that he may clearly repent from his sins, so that he may receive this salvation refuge that is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, be merciful, we pray thee. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.